Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Beautiful song, DJ. Thank you. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Palm Sunday, everybody.
Glory.
Amen. Happy Holy Week.
Amen.
Happy Passover. We got a lot to celebrate. Amen. Amen. We got a lot to celebrate, and all because of Jesus. So thank the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Amazing Grace.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day the Lord has made.
Yeah.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we give this day to you as we give every day to you, Father God. We just thank you for every blessing, Lord. We thank you for this word today that reminds us that you came on that triumphant day, Father God, and sacrificed for us, Lord. Gave everything for us, so that we may have eternal life, so that we may enjoy eternal life with you, Father. So we praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that you came humbly in peace, and that you've taught us to live in peace, Father God, to live in peace, to love others, and to be the light in this dark world that we're living in right now, Father God. So we praise you. We give you all the glory. And we thank you for this holy week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. My sermon title today is going to be a little different, okay? My sermon is going to be a little different today. I'm going to focus more on why the Lord came rather than how he came. Amen?
Amen.
So today's, because traditionally I talk more about how he came, but I'm going to focus more on why he came today. Amen. So we're going to talk about a different kind of entrance that he made, and a different kind of victory than what they expected. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21, first 11 verses there. And so we're getting a little off the road of Acts that we were on. Amen? A little off the mission there, but still on with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So as the Lord entered town, the crowd was clueless. Amen? They never got it right. They shouted praises, but the Lord wept. They looked for a warrior king riding a white stallion, and they got a carpenter riding a donkey. They wanted hype, but they got a healer. They wanted a prophet, but they got one who would fulfill prophecy. They wanted a scepter, and they got a savior. They got nothing they asked for, but they got everything they needed.
Amen.
Everything they needed. Only they never really got it. Amen? They were clueless. Jesus was the only one there who really knew what was happening on that first Palm Sunday. Amen? It was so easy. It's so easy to become like those people in Jerusalem on that day. Amen? We think we know what's going on in our lives, but we really don't have a clue. We have a bad week, and we blame God. You know, our kids act out, we blame the school. Amen? We work two jobs, and we wonder why things aren't better at home. Jesus comes to our town, and he wants to help us, but we don't recognize Jesus for who he is. We think he's going to be impressed with our boats and our cars and our businesses and all of our stuff, but he's not. Jesus only wants our hearts.
Amen?
Amen? He only came, and he's only here for our hearts. And that's what Palm Sunday is all about. Amen? Jesus coming for our hearts. You see, Jesus was going to come differently than they expected on that first Palm Sunday. Very much differently. It was to be a different kind of entrance and a different kind of victory than they expected. But just like today, they were called and we're called to receive God's gift with all of our hearts and with all of our minds. Amen? We've talked about that the last few weeks, right? Talking about how we receive salvation. Amen? With our hearts and with our minds. First verse says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, or Bethphage, however you want to say it, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you're going to find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Now, this is the only rendition, if you will, with two donkeys, okay? I like the one with two donkeys in it, okay? Now, I just love the book of Matthew, but... So, a donkey tied there with her colt by her. He said, untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. So it says, as they approached. Okay? Earlier in the book of Matthew, Jesus had declared to the disciples that he knew that when he entered Jerusalem on this last time, the authorities were going to arrest him, they were going to beat him, and they were going to crucify him. The Lord already knew what was going to happen. Amen? He knew all these things because Jesus knows everything. Amen? He knew what was going to happen. And in knowing that all these things were going to happen to him, what would he do? He would continue on. Amen? He would still go. What an act of courage. Amen? But more importantly, what an act of love. Right? This was an act of love by our Lord and Savior. Amen? It was all about the love. Jesus would have the courage to not just enter Jerusalem at this time, but he was ready to do it publicly. Right? He's going to let everybody know. Amen? Jesus wasn't hiding anymore. He wasn't trying to keep low-key. His time had finally come. Everybody was going to know that the Messiah had arrived. Amen. Now, this would be quite the contrast to what he had been doing and proclaiming up to this point. Amen. Because remember, whenever he did a miracle or cast out a demon or did any of these amazing things, he would always say, shh, don't tell anyone. Right? Don't tell anyone. My time has not yet come. He would even tell his mother, my time has not yet come. Amen. So you see, he didn't need any advertisements for what he was doing. His miracles were being noticed enough all by themselves, right? He didn't need social media. He didn't need any of that stuff. Amen? He wanted to be, and the reason for that is Jesus didn't want to be known, okay, as the miracle worker who taught people things. Amen? He wanted to be known as the teacher who did miracles. That's what he wanted to be known as. Amen? Teacher first and foremost. Miracles was a secondary thing. Amen? Teaching was the main thing for Jesus, okay? You see, and Jesus knew there was going to be too much trouble in the world if the world knew too soon as well. Amen? So he didn't want to let everybody know until his perfect timing, because Jesus' timing not was, but is always perfect. Amen? His timing is always perfect. And in order to fulfill prophecy, things were going to have to be done on Jesus' timetable. Amen? And it's still true today. Amen? Still holds true today. So he would say time and time again, he would tell everybody, shh, my time has not yet come. Amen? But on this day in that city, a city that was going to persecute him, Jesus' time had finally come. And he was going to let everybody know. Amen? He was going to lead a parade of followers and believers that were ready to conquer the world. But it was going to be a different kind of victory than everyone expected. Amen? A very different kind of victory. Jesus had fulfilled all of the preaching and teaching that he had set out to do. Amen? He had fulfilled everything he set out. Jesus had trained his disciples to do what they needed to do. And he had given them the tools they needed to carry on even after he would ascend back to heaven. Amen? He gave them the tools, and now was the time for the cross. Now was the time for him to fulfill his last work that he was going to do, the work of the cross. Amen? Amen? And he was going to fulfill that. But the disciples, they felt a whole different way about what was going on. Amen? They felt a whole different way. We got to remember that this was the time of the Passover. Amen? This was the time of the Passover, which celebrated an earlier miraculous deliverance. Amen? When they were delivered out of Israel. Amen? Or delivered out of Egypt, I mean. And their expectations were high in the aspect of expecting another victorious victory. Amen? Another victorious battle over their earthly enemies. That's what they were worried about. That's what they wanted a victory over. Amen? Their earthly enemies. And the people would also remember the prophecies of Daniel predicting hundreds of years before, that Jesus was going to enter Jerusalem as the anointed Messiah King.
Amen?
Amen? And that's exactly what he was going to do. You see, Jesus was no longer trying to keep quiet. He had deliberately planned this grand event and this grand entrance. He says in verses 2 and 3 that they were going to find a donkey and that they needed to just steal the donkey. No, I'm just kidding. Untie the donkey, right? They're going to borrow this donkey, okay? They're going to untie it. And if anyone says anything, he says, say it's for the Lord. Say it's for the Lord. And I'm sure Jesus had set this all up. Amen? Everything was set up on his schedule, in his perfect timing, which is still perfect today.
Amen.
Jesus' timing is still perfect today. Jesus had come to Jerusalem on that day for a purpose, just as he comes into our lives on his schedule for a purpose. Amen? For regardless of how much we try to mess things up, God can still use us and still rescue us. Right? He came while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Amen? And that's every day. Amen? Every day. Jesus comes to us when he says we're ready. Amen? But he also comes in special seasons and in special places. Right? Special seasons and special. I like to think that Amazing Grace Church is a special season and a special place for all of you people too. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. What an amazing time we are living in when we are living in Christ. Amen. Regardless of what's going on in the world, when we're living in Christ, it's an amazing time. And so Jesus is always with us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But there are going to be special times when he shows up in your life, okay? And you better recognize it. You've got to recognize it. Amen? He's going to bring healing into your life. He's going to bring provision into your life. He's going to bring miracles in your life. But we have to receive it. Amen? We got to believe it. Because a lot of times Jesus shows up and people just ignore it. Amen? Miracles happen in their lives and people just ignore it. So we have to be ready. Amen? We have to be ready. But don't let that be you. Don't let you be the one that ignores it. When Jesus comes to you in a special season in your life, when you're in desperate need, recognize his healing. Amen? And live in that attitude of gratitude. Right? We should be forever grateful for what he does for us. Amen? Because God is good. God is good. And so Jesus says, you're going to find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And notice he says to bring them both, right? He says bring both the colt and the foal. Amen? You see, Jesus could ride the colt that had never been ridden before. Amen? Because Jesus controls nature. That was his point. Amen? Jesus controls nature. But at the same time, the colt's mother was going to reassure it through the crowd. Amen? The Lord knew that the colt needed her mother to guide her through the crowd. If it was a girl, I'm not sure if it was a girl. But this also was to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah. Amen? In Zechariah 9, it said that the triumphant entry would be done on the colt, right? A foal of a donkey. Amen? On the colt. Which leads us to verses 4 through 6. Amen? This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah as well. Amen? It says, say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Amen? The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them.
Amen.
Right? Jesus had been walking, okay, as he always did, right? Jesus had been walking. He walked everywhere. He had walked from Galilee almost all the way to Jerusalem when he was given these orders about the donkey. Amen? They say he walked about 90 miles just to get there, okay? So I would say that Jesus and whoever was with him, they were probably in pretty good shape, amen? Because I can't remember the last time I walked 90 miles. I don't know about you guys. But I used to run long distance. I think 26.2 was the record for me, you know? But he's walking 90 miles, amen? But people walked everywhere in that day, right? That's how they got around. Most people, they would walk, and he had walked that far, amen? So why do you think he needed a colt to take him the rest of the way, right? Do you think maybe his legs cramped up, he had walked too many miles, right? No, this is Jesus, amen? He didn't need help to finish the journey. No, he was doing that to fulfill the prophecy, amen? It was to fulfill prophecy. Zechariah said that he would come to his people on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In fact, Jesus would fulfill many prophecies. They say conservatively, he fulfilled at least 300 prophecies. Amen? And they're still fulfilling prophecies today. Amen? As a matter of fact, even the timeline of when this would happen, which was 7 sevens and 62 sevens, which if you do the math, comes out to 483 years, amen, would be the exact amount of time to when he would enter Jerusalem. Amen. It was prophesied by Daniel as to when he would enter, and they say that his revelation was spoken on the exact day of Palm Sunday. This is all about prophecy. Amen. That he would arrive on that day. Okay? And so it's Palm Sunday. Hundreds of thousands of people are gathered. Amen. Remember, it's the Passover. Amen. Hundreds of thousands of people are gathered, and many of them are expecting the King of the Jews to arrive, right? The King of the Jews to arrive. So obviously, the Romans, you remember, they got to keep the peace, amen? So they have to prepare for this, okay? And they don't know what to expect from this new king and his entourage. They don't know if they're going to be wielding swords, right? He's a king coming to town, right? They don't know if they're going to have swords, if they're going to be ready for battle, if they're going to be ready to conquer them. They don't know what's going to happen. And what about Jesus, right? They don't know, that, will he be on a warrior's horse like they expect? Well, we know he wasn't, amen? But they aren't sure, okay? But they're going to flood Jerusalem with these Roman troops. They're going to be ready for anything. They're going to flood Jerusalem with these troops. Better safe than sorry, right? They were even going to bring in the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, to oversee everything. Amen? And, of course, he'd be made famous later for all the wrong reasons. Amen? But, and so Rome was ready for war. Okay? They're ready for war if they need to be, and or at least a riot. Amen? But this was going to be a different kind of entrance. Okay? A different kind of war and a different kind of victory. But a victory for all of us, amen, even today, amen, for eternity. And so you see, Jesus and his followers would have a different kind of armor, okay? A different kind of armor, a different kind of weapons than the people of this world, okay? They were going to have a different kind of armor. They would have the armor of God, okay? The armor of God, which consists of this, right? The belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the feet of peace, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith. Amen? Amen. They were going to have those weapons, okay? These were the weapons and the armor of God's people, and they still are today. Amen? Those are the weapons of God's people. And Jesus, he didn't ride into town on a war horse, amen? He rode in on a donkey, okay? In ancient times, so you guys know, riding a donkey was associated with peace. That's the whole point for the donkey. Amen? It was associated with peace, while a horse was a symbol of war and conquest. That's what they were expecting, right? A symbol of war and conquest. But by choosing a donkey, Jesus showed that his kingdom would be a kingdom of peace, not a kingdom of violence. Right? Right? A kingdom of peace. So do you think Rome felt threatened when they saw Jesus coming in on this donkey? Probably not, right? He's coming in on a donkey. And they'd be waving palm branches and laying their clothes out, their cloaks out on the ground in front of them. This was a different kind of entrance that they're used to for a king. Amen? This was very different. This king was going to come in peace, and he was going to have a victory over the world, right? The world that he created. Amen? He was going to have a victory over the world. You see, Jesus knew that this kingdom that he was up against was going to eventually fall. Amen? just as all the earthly kingdoms will do. They'll all eventually fall. Amen? They will all eventually fall. But this king of the Jews, he was not of this world. Amen? He was not of this world, and he was going to have a victory on that day. A victory over Satan, a victory over the flesh, and a victory over every soldier and enemy of the kingdom of God from that day on forever. Amen? Forever. Because the Lord's kingdom will last forever. Amen? The Lord's kingdom lasts forever. Jesus was not like the kings of this world. And those who believed and followed him, they knew this. Amen? Jesus was not like the other kings. They had seen his miracles. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead just prior to this. Amen? They knew what he could do. Amen? They were following him for many reasons. And they were being witnesses to this king of the Jews. Little did they know, though, that it was God himself that they were witnessing. Amen? It was God himself that had rode into town. Amen? He was a humble king and a humble God who had come to die for the sins of the world. Praise God. Amen? There was to be his victory. Amen? Not over flesh, but over the powers of the dark world against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. That's what it was about. Amen? It wasn't about the soldiers there on that day. It was about the spiritual realms. Amen? And what the Lord could conquer for all of us. This may have been a different kind of entrance and a different kind of victory, but it would be the greatest victory ever recorded in the history of mankind. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the reason that it's the greatest is because it's the triumph of the love of God over the hatred of man. Amen? That's what it's all about. Christianity, this church, God's church, is all about love. Amen? All about love. That's a victory that we cannot achieve without Jesus Christ in our lives. We cannot achieve that without the Lord in our lives. We know what we can do without the Lord in our lives, right? Well, a lot of us have figured that out the hard way. Amen? But you see, the Savior of the world, the true King of this world, he comes unusually to each of us, not just the people on that day. Amen? Each of us must have a personal relationship in order to have a victory over the enemy that's in our lives. We got to have our own personal victories. Amen? Our own personal relationship. And so Jesus is preparing for this triumphal entry. And in verse 7, it says, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Now, he's only going to sit on the colt. Amen? The older donkey or the mother would be leading the colt as they went. Okay? Now, Jesus, remember, this is a perfect plan. Okay? Because it's the Lord's plan. Amen? It's a perfect plan. And we have to also respect the fact that they were going to sacrifice their cloaks or their clothes, amen, for the Lord as well. Because in that day, that was a big part of their, what they owned, what their belongings, right? That was an expensive commodity for them, was their clothes. Very few people had more than one or two changes of clothes, amen? So this was a sacrifice for them to throw down their cloaks or to put them on the donkey for the Lord to sit on, amen? This was about a sacrifice that they were making for God. For the Lord. Verse 8 says, continues on, says, a very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. There it is. And while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Amen. Yeah, you can wave them right now. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city, it says, was stirred, and they asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Amen. 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 So they're laying their expensive clothes on the ground, amen, on the donkey too, spreading their clothes on the ground, and they're waving these palm branches, okay, in reverence, right? They're waving these palm branches. As they're laying them on the road in front of Jesus, All of this was being done to honor the Lord. Amen? To honor Him as He entered Jerusalem. Now, they didn't just think all these things up for this occasion. Amen? There's an example of this, the laying of the cloaks on the ground, when they celebrated a king in the Old Testament that was named Jehu. Amen? In Jehu? In 2 Kings, we actually, me and my wife know someone named Jehu too. But in 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, after he won the battle, amen, it says, "When Jehu went out to his fellow officers, one of them asked him, 'Is everything all right? Why did this maniac come to you?' He said, 'You know the man and the sort of things he says,' Jehu replied. 'That's not true,' they said. 'Tell us.' Jesus said, 'Here is what he told me. This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel.' Then they quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, 'Jehu is king.'" Amen? So this was a form of celebration. Amen? That the king had come. Praise God. This was to show honor, to show loyalty, and to show support. That would, of course, be the reason for the spreading of the cloaks, okay? Now, as far as the palm branches go, all right? Well, that would be recorded in the book of Maccabees, amen? This wasn't the first time they had done that either, okay? And it's not in the Bible, amen? But it does contain some fascinating history, okay, regarding biblical figures. It talks about the time between the New Testament and the Old Testament, and it shows a Jewish revolutionary movement where palm branches were used as a flag that indicated success. Amen? And I'll read it to you in 1 Maccabees 13:51. It says, "On the 23rd day of the second month in the year 171, the Jews entered the citadel with shouts of jubilation, waving palm branches, the music of harps and cymbals, and the singing of hymns and canticles, because a great enemy of Israel had been destroyed." Amen. They were expecting another great victory. Amen. They were waving the palm branches because this would be a symbol, okay? A symbol. And they knew this. And now they look back at a great victory from the past, and they're hoping for a great victory again. Amen. They're hoping for this great victory. This was a celebration of an expected victory, amen, by the Jewish nation. So they were excited, not only that they laid these things out, but they would shout as well. Amen? They would shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Okay? And if you don't know what that means, the translation, Hosanna means save us. Amen? Save us. And the Son of David, of course, means Jesus, our Lord. Amen? Save us, Lord, is what they were yelling out. Okay? Save us, Lord, Hosanna. God's people were praying for deliverance, and they were going to get it. Amen? They were going to get it in a much more dramatic fashion than they could have ever imagined or ever expected. And Jesus would finally be encouraging this worship from His people. Amen? His time had come. This was the day the Lord had made in His time, in the fulfillment of the prophets, but most importantly, in perfect peace. The Lord was going to come in perfect peace. Jesus would present Himself as the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace. Amen? The Prince of Peace. It says that when He entered the city, all the city was stirred. Right? All the city was stirred. Jesus was showing them He was not afraid because He knew His time had finally come. Right? He entered the city. He came freely, professing Himself as the Messiah. But those who did not know Him, they said, "Who is this?" Right? "Who is this?" And the crowd answered them and said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth." Amen? In Galilee. The prophet from Nazareth. And that was going to sound strange to many to think that a prophet or even a Messiah, amen, would come from such an obscure little city as Nazareth. Right? It didn't have a very good reputation. Amen? But they would respect Him at least for a little while, amen, knowing that He was the Messiah, amen? He had come to town. But only 5 days later, I say a little while, because only 5 days later they're going to be shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Amen? How fickle, how soon we forget. Amen? How soon we forget. This was to be one of the first revivals in God's church. Okay? We do. But it was also going to be the greatest victory ever in God's name. Amen? Regardless of what the people did or said. This was going to be a victory for all of us. Amen? Charles Spurgeon wrote, he said, when our Lord grants revivals to his church, the congregations and the multitude outside begin to ask, wherefore this stir? What is this, right? What meaneth all this? Who is this Christ and what is his salvation? The spirit of inquiry is eminently desirable. It is just now a matter to be sought for by importunate prayer. Amen? By prayer. And I don't have time to translate for Spurgeon, but you guys get the picture, right? You get the hint, okay? This was a different kind of entrance, okay? It was a different kind of victory. But today is a different kind of revival. Amen? We're in a revival in the church today. Amen? It's not like the one back then, though, but Christ had come to save us all. Amen? Amen? And that's the revival that we still live in today. Amen. So we must, but we have to believe that. Amen? We have to believe it. We have to receive it. And through prayer, like Spurgeon said, amen, through prayer, we may achieve it.
Amen.
Amen? Because that's how we gain that relationship, through prayer. Amen? Because all things are possible in Christ Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? So live your lives in prayer. I say happy Palm Sunday to everybody. I didn't want to make it too long for you guys, but this is all about the Lord coming to die for our sins and to bring us eternal salvation. Amen? So happy Palm Sunday. Welcome to Holy Week. Amen? And let us pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we journey through Holy Week, Lord, open our hearts to witness your Son's sacrifice anew. Help us to pause and turn our thoughts towards Calvary, remembering the price that you paid for our salvation. Lord Jesus, you carried your cross out of love for us. May each of us make each step that we take, Father God, this week honor your journey. Holy Spirit, guide us through these solemn days that lead to victory. Forgive us our shortcomings and help us to follow your teachings more faithfully. May we walk in your way of suffering and share in the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. All right. Praise God. Keep waving those branches, all right? Amen? All right, Teresa.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers. Hear our prayers.
Father God, I just come before you today, Lord. First of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Let me come to know you, Father, today, and to make heaven a home. I just thank you so much. Father, I just want to look at my grandson, Jacob, to you, Father. He just had surgery, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that for a fast healing. I pray, Lord God, that you will help him through pain. He can't really communicate, Lord. So I trust in you, Lord God. Because your word says that your grace is sufficient enough, Father. And Father, I just trust in you, Lord God, that you will help him through this, Lord God. And I pray for a speedy recovery. I lift up my stepdad there to you, Father God. He had surgery on his back, Lord. Complications can arise, that, but we know that you are a God, a healer. You're the great physician, Lord God.
Yes, you are, Lord.
And Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you just heal his body, Lord God. Take his back that you place, Lord God.
Yes.
I pray for a speedy recovery.
Yes.
I pray, Lord God, that you do with my mom, Lord God, as she travels back and forth, Lord God.
Yes.
Take her to and from safety, Father.
Yes,
and
Father.
I lift it, Father God, my grandchildren, Lord God.
Yes.
My husband and I's grandchildren and our kids, we pray for their salvation. We pray, Father God, for my husband's family, Lord Jesus. Father God, continue to use us, Lord God, to minister to them, Lord. Give that opportunity, Lord God, to share what this week is about. And it's about you coming, that you would get to know me. And I just want to say thank you, Father. And give my husband the strength that he needs, Lord God, in this time. And your mercy, Father.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
That my friend Tina with a heart problem is getting better, and I'm praying that she is giving you the glory for that. I'm praying for Shirley's son and my friend Jim, who both have cancer, and I'm just putting our faith in you, God, that you will give them healing and they will go into remission. Jesus' name.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers. Prayers. Amen. Lord, we lift up Glenn Covey, who's in the hospital dealing with heart issues, Lord. We pray for his scan or checkup tomorrow and pray that all comes back well, Father.